Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning. If you're going to sing, man, turn your mic on.
That's my jam right there, man.
Good morning. Happy, happy, happy Mother's Day. Start off with some Boys to Men and welcoming to the show.
Mama.
Go ahead, man. I'll back up a little bit.
No, it's all good, man. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, you know.
No, listen.
Not hurt nobody's ears, but hurt nobody's feelings.
Sam dances. If you can sing, God bless you. Go ahead.
I ain't going to do it like that. Only in the shower. Save it for the shower, man.
This is a voice you normally hear during college basketball season. Michigan State is in the house.
That's it. That's it, man. Appreciate you for having me on this morning, too. Midwest guys, Chicago, Michigan, everything was good, man. And Bo came over here and messed it up with his Louisiana roots. No, I'm just messing up. I love Bo, man. I love Bo.
Deshaun Tate is joining us this morning. This is going to have a potpourri of people in here this morning. Got a special guest coming up around the 8 o'clock hour this morning. I will just tell you that when he gets here, we will probably put everything else on the back burner and start talking football.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the Falcons.
Looking forward to it.
Rookie camp, everything surrounding football, but that's coming up. Hey, man, when's the last time you did a show?
The weekend before the Final Four.
That's right. You were busy during that time.
Oh, my goodness. Me and Jeff Benedict, so I've definitely had my opportunities to get a lot more rest since then. That was desperately needed. Got a chance to go out to Florida a couple times and just kind of enjoy life outside of college basketball for a little while before basketball starts, you know, completely setting back into things with the NBA and everything.
But we're going to talk NBA this morning.
Sure.
But you got a chance to go down to San Antonio, correct?
Correct. Yep.
And so, listen, at some point during the show, I want to get your thoughts on what you saw, you know, at the end of this college basketball season.
Absolutely.
Because normally you come on here and you're like a wind-up toy because I know you think you only have a few minutes and you just spew out all this information. And by the way, it's great information.
Put everybody to sleep.
And Sam, no. That's the one thing you don't do because you are a runaway train. And Sam and I, speaking from Mr. Crenshaw, who, by the way, is not here this morning again, we can't thank you enough for your contribution.
Shout out to, as I like to call him, Brother Crenshaw. Appreciate him
he's Reverend Crenshaw.
Reverend Crenshaw. Appreciate him for letting me sit in his seat this morning.
He's either Reverend Crenshaw or Deacon Crenshaw.
That's right.
He's one of the two. He used to drive one of those Chrysler 300s.
Okay.
I remember we came downstairs. Who was it that said this? Jarvis. He said, he got one of them preacher cars.
Oh, one of them preacher cars. Yeah. You got to have one of them Lincolns. He went from the Lincolns to the Chryslers.
Hey, man, let's just get started here because we got a lot of things. I know that you don't get a chance to give your opinion on some of the stuff going on in the sports world. So let's start locally. And on this Mother's Day, would you have believed when the season started or what you heard about this team in the offseason that the Braves would be sitting in first place?
No, I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, this Atlanta, in terms of the Braves, since I've been living here, I moved here in 2005, just kind of always had – from what it seems like, another year where it's kind of disappointing, if you will. And there's been some pretty good years and there's been some pretty disappointing years as well. But, you know, there wasn't anything that really stuck out to me per se that said, you know what, this is a different feel of a year. And I can say so far, 38 games in, that it does have a little bit of a different feel to it. So it's
a young talent that's getting your attention, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that makes it even just that much better to me, just the young talent, the optimism, the positivity around there in the club.
You can't use too many big words, man, 6:05 in the morning.
No, but positivity's not a big
that's
word.
That's too big a word here. I got to sit down and dissect that.
I went to public school. It's all good.
Listen, that's me talking. Stuff spews out of my mouth. I don't know where it came from, so I should talk. No, but again, the unknown about what was going to happen. Individually, these players came in with some juice. You knew what they could do at different levels.
Sure.
You just don't know what's going to happen when they get up to Major League pitching.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and the person who most people have talked about that's benefiting from all of this because he was a man out on an island was Freddie Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's got some guys around him, not only with the sticks, but also in the field. My question is, and everybody's question at this point, like you said, X amount of games into the season, they are where they are, one game ahead. But how sustainable is it? What's going to happen? We talk about making a correlation to basketball,
mm-hmm.
that rookie wall that these guys hit when they go from college to an 82-game season in the NBA.
Absolutely.
So what's going to happen in these dog days in late July, in August? Now, you got to think that these guys are in the right position to succeed, and they're doing whatever it takes to sustain it. But you do wonder, though, right?
Yeah, I do. And realistically, I think that it's a little too early to tell for me. I mean, we just saw them go on a five-game win streak ending April and into May. And something as great as that is, you know, I don't really think that says a whole lot about the baseball that we have moving towards the future throughout the duration of the regular season that's approaching. And it would be the same way if they were on a five-game losing streak. You know, I mean, things can change in a matter of months, you know, weeks,
baseball.
Days, you know, that's exactly what it is. Baseball, what is it, 168, 62? 162 games. Still a long season to go, but to be honest with you, there is not a lot of teams around Major League Baseball that is leading their division. And
well, there's at least five others.
Well, at least, minimum. But then that goes to show, I don't know how many teams are in baseball, but that just goes to show how many more.
Sean is a basketball man. So, listen, no, this is, I mean, people are going, he don't know. No, this is a basketball man. Right?
Yeah, well, I was
so
close. I said 168.
That's okay, man. It's all good here. Again, it is all good.
I just think that also goes to show that, you know, there's a lot of others that are not in that position, and the Braves could easily be one of the teams that is not in the position, but they're one of the six that are.
Listen, here's the thing. Whether it's sustainable or not, mm-hmm. this is what I don't want to see happen.
Okay.
I don't want to see the Phillies win. Okay. Philadelphia has been way too happy this year so far as their sports teams. I want that to end.
That makes sense.
Okay?
I
don't want anything good happening to anymore. I don't want anything bad to happen to them.
Sure.
But I don't want anything. Phillies had their run.
I got you.
Between mm-hmm. Villanova and the Eagles, just be competitive and we'll be happy. All right?
Mm-hmm.
And it really would have been something unimaginable had the 76ers continued. Because they're normally obnoxious anyway.
Okay.
But to have three champions, or at least a team that got to the championship,
that's right.
Yeah, it'd have been too much. It really would have been. DeSean Tate joining yours truly, Greg, this morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. As we do on every Sunday, we're going to talk about what we're most grateful for. Now, you haven't been here. We'll get to that later on in the hour. You haven't been here before, DeSean, but Bo, Sam, and I, on a Sunday morning, mm-hmm. a couple times, we will just let the audience know a little bit more about us, and we will talk about things. We will mention things that we're most grateful for.
So all right.
You think of a couple things. Now, you haven't been here, and this is Mother's Day, so there's an obvious one you may get to. But whatever else you are most grateful for, I want to hear from.
I'm thankful for a ton of things.
All right, we'll save it.
I'll be ready. I will be ready.
You know what the best part about today is? Not only just Mother's Day.
Okay.
All right. You're a sports fan. We get to see the red shirt.
Mm.
The red shirt is going to be out at the TPC, Tiger Woods.
That's right.
If you didn't see what happened yesterday, check out the replays. He went low and got himself back into contention. The problem is the guy who's leading, Webb Simpson, is actually playing like Tiger.
Yep.
Tiger used to play.
Used to play.
I think they said some 50-some positions, more than 50 positions with his 65 yesterday. He's tied for ninth. But, again, he's 11 back.
Mm-hmm.
He's 11 back from the lead. Again, this is one of those situations where you haven't had a chance to give your thoughts on the resurgence of Tiger and his play this year. Now, he hasn't won anything.
Sure.
But he's moved the needle. And he's got people out there. And he should be reminding the younger players as to why they're getting the purses they've been getting.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's the one who brought that money back into the sport. So your thoughts on Tiger in this season and his comeback?
Well, I just think that it's interesting that to see him playing so well and being a little behind, putting the pressure on someone else.
Now, he ain't putting no pressure on anybody. He's just playing.
Well, I mean, I get it that he's playing.
He's just
but
playing.
I think that there is a little bit of where in a situation where you're used to seeing him at one point in time as the leader and just kind of looking like, you know what, it's hands down, looks like he's going to run away with this thing. He's not in that position, right?
No, and that's not that dude is long gone. He's
right.
In the museum, and it's great to go visit once in a while. But that was just crazy. It was like
right.
some kind of alien came down here and started playing golf.
Well, he's hitting so well now between him and Jordan Spieth both And in terms of Webb Simpson, that is, you know, probably the more impressive thing is just that he hasn't let up, you know. And I like to see someone else. I like to see Tiger on the heels of someone else instead of someone else on the, you know. I mean, I lived that for so long where we saw people on the heels of him or him just looking like he's going to run away with it. I like to see him at an elder stage of his life, putting the pressure a little bit, applying it a little bit, someone else and playing with confidence. And I think that that's good for the game of golf.
And listen, as long as you don't wear shirts like Phil Mickelson, everything will be cool. Before we finish up this the segment, just a quick overview, and I want to get to our poll question and remind everybody about that. But we got our man as far as the Atlanta Hawks coach. Mm-hmm. What was your first thought that came to your head when you heard about Lloyd Price?
I'm not sure if there was really
Pierce, excuse me.
Necessarily one thing.
I've been calling him that singer forever.
All good. No worries. I just thought that it was like, you know what, get a guy in here that can help develop players and will be willing to withstand whatever they may get ready to endure for the next 3 years.
Okay.
Two to three years. That was my initial thought.
All right. Well, and I want to get you more. So I'll tell you what, next segment, we're going to talk more NBA because okay. I got a question about that particular thought process when it comes to the players that they're eventually going to get.
I think I can
do that. Moving forward. You weren't here yesterday. Put a poll question out. So you mm-hmm. guys, we'd like you to participate. It's going to go till 9:30 this morning. Deshaun, earlier this past week, the France family, mm-hmm. might have been that last week, announced that they are thinking about, nothing locked in stone, they're thinking about selling NASCAR. All right, and I was trying to think to myself, in my lifetime, what sport has been sold? Teams have been sold, but not sports.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, the one that popped to mind was UFC. A few years
right.
ago, Dana White and his boys got $4 billion.
Hey, you stole mine.
What do you mean I stole yours?
Well, that was the one I was thinking of.
Well, we talked about it yesterday, so actually we stole it yesterday.
Okay.
We started this poll 24 hours ago.
Okay.
All right. So my question is this, and we want to hear from you guys. Do you think that were NASCAR to be sold, would it get more or less than what UFC went for? My thing is, I don't think it's going to get half.
What did UFC go for?
$4 billion.
Mm.
$4 billion. So give a shout on the Twitter poll, at 92.9thegame. Let us know what you think. Bo, as a matter of fact, we got an update from yesterday.
So your Twitter poll is as, how much will the France family get for the sale of NASCAR? Your four choices are more than UFC, which is $4 billion, more than the Clippers, which was $2 billion,
yep.
$1 billion, or they'll be lucky to get $1 million.
Did you do it? Was there a little right. Dr. Evil there?
Yeah, and I couldn't put that in. There's not enough room to, like, yeah, I was going to have a description of how you have to say that if you do vote for that one.
Okay.
237 votes thus far, and the first three choices are actually almost evenly split at 28% each, and then lucky to get $1 million is at 16%.
Wow. So there are people.
But we do need to make sure that people aren't confused here. It's a sports league that got sold, not the sport itself. I don't think you can actually own a sport.
Sport itself.
But UFC is
yeah,
a league.
Yeah, the league.
MMA,
yeah.
MMA cats will get on to you. UFC is not the sport of MMA. UFC is a sport, MMA league, just like right. NASCAR is a stock car racing league.
So, yes, exactly. So that's the question this morning. But the reason I brought that up is because you've got people on there who don't think it's going to get $1 million. There's people who think like me who think that they won't get half of that. And NASCAR has been around 60-plus years. They're part of the American sports fabric. Okay? UFC's been around for how long?
Oh, my goodness. Quite some. It's been
they haven't been around that long. That's my point.
Well, I mean, long. It's been around for a long time. Okay, UFC, not
speaking,
MMA.
Yes.
Okay,
it has
gotcha.
Not been around that long, and they have not just passed, they have run past NASCAR.
Mm-hmm.
One's going in one direction, one's going in another direction, and it was just mind-boggling to me. So I wanted to bring that up.
Now, that number one, was that a 1 million or a 1 billion?
No. Well, he did say 1 billion, but he also said 1 million.
Okay.
We'll get back to the poll in a bit there. But, again, you want to join us on Twitter, at 92.9thegame. That's Deshaun Tate. I'm Greg Clarkson. Going to talk NBA next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Newest members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Bon Jovi on 96 Rock. Do you believe those guys had to sit all this time? See, this is the pettiness of music. This is, I just want to get this off my chest.
Okay.
Jan Warner, the guy who started Rolling Stone magazine, made these guys sit in the bullpen for years before they put him in. He did this with Kiss. He did this with a number of bands, little petty jealousies and arguments. And there are some rock and roll bands that have not gotten into the, or they have waited longer than they deserve to. When you had guys, these guys sold over 100 million albums, and yet there were guys who had one hit, bands who had one hit. Leonard Cohen did Hallelujah. Great song, but that was it. Got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Don't get me started. I'm on a little tangent here. And according to my wife, the best aged rock and roll lead singer. In other words, Bon Jovi has aged better than any frontman of any rock band, in her opinion. And probably most. This guy's making... You're a single man of a certain age. Go to a Bon Jovi concert.
I had to check that out. Yeah, expand my horizons a little
bit. I'm just telling you. You talk about, you know, cougars and stuff. But, yeah. Hey, listen, I want to read you something. I want to get your thoughts on this. Before we get back to basketball, DeShawn Tate joining me this morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mr. Crenshaw is out again. Never saw this before. If I have, I can't remember when I did. This is a letter. Thank you to basketball fans across the city and the country of Canada who supported the Raptors and welcomed my family with open arms during our 7 years here. Thank you to all the fans who cheered us on at the Air Canada Center while we built this program into a playoff contender. Packed Jurassic Park, even in the cold and rain, watched the games from home and offered their underlying support as we traveled this road to relevancy together. Thank you for teaching our all-American family the Canadian way. That's from Dwayne Casey on his way out the door.
You know what it didn't, what that letter didn't?
Well, there's more of it. I didn't want to read the whole thing.
No, that's fine, but I'm going to tell you what that letter did not start as.
What's that?
Which probably should have.
Watch your mouth now. We got FCC listening.
No, that's perfectly fine. I hope they are. Dear front office executives of other NBA teams.
Okay.
...
Well, listen, yeah.
Coachless, head coachless. Vacancies.
The fact that he occupied the high road with this, I think they take notice.
Oh, absolutely.
That's the kind of guy you want with him.
Absolutely. I think that's who he is naturally, too, by the way.
Were the rocks shaking in your head when you heard that he got fired, even though there was speculation about that as the playoffs ended for them?
Yes and no. Yes, because it didn't seem right. You've got a guy who, you know, got that organization to what I believe is its first number one seed.
In the Eastern Conference,
right?
Second best record in the league,
especially a number one seed in which LeBron James is playing in still, which to me makes a huge difference. And
yeah, but he didn't beat LeBron in the last 3 years. That's the
I understand that, but to be a number one seed in the same era that LeBron James is still, I mean, to me that's an accomplishment. If you go back and look at some of these teams in which LeBron were playing in, obviously he's not the first to do it, but I'm just saying for that team. The first time ever that they get a number one seed, I think that was a pretty huge deal, obviously. And 59 wins, I mean, that's the most in the franchise's history as well.
Understood.
Now, where I'm not surprised is that, unfortunately, there's not a lot of things that surprise me anymore just in life in almost 34 years.
Okay, there's a wide paintbrush. Okay.
So,
I thought you were going to say you weren't surprised by anything LeBron does on the court. Other teams.
No. I was just speaking
in general,
on the behalf of the release for the Toronto Raptors, you know, on Dwayne Casey. It's just not a lot surprises me anymore. So
again, that's DeShawn Tate. We're in his area of expertise. The man is a basketball savant. You normally hear DeShawn giving his expertise in college basketball, but you know he's a big NBA fan. Last segment we were talking about the Hawks got their man. All right. Lloyd Pierce.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you had made some comments about what you saw or what you hoped, forgive me if I'm not getting this right, as far as moving forward with this team and him being the right man for the job as they make this transition?
I think, honestly, if you're really looking for the guy in which this is something that Travis Schlink alluded to in his press conference, was that the team was looking forward to a guy that could relate to this generation and develop players. And when you're looking at some of the guys that he helped develop, because this is a guy who served as an assistant in Cleveland,
right.
Golden State, Memphis, Philadelphia. So essentially you're looking at a guy who helped kind of mold and shape, contribute to the success of LeBron James, Stephen Curry, Zach Randolph, Michael Conley Jr., Joe Embiid, Simmons, you know, that I think that that definitely holds some weight a little bit. And there's also a little bit of familiarity there in Golden State. You know, Travis Link came over from Golden State. He was an assistant. Pierce was an assistant at the time that he was an assistant there when Travis Link was an assistant GM at Golden State at the same time. So there is definitely some history.
Here's my thing. And Sam and I talked about – Sam was a Coach Bud fan and like thousands of others in this city. And my thought was pretty much what you just said. There's a reason why they went after Coach Pierce. And it's probably his ability to rally young players.
Mm-hmm.
Not having to deal with a bunch of superstars.
Sure.
The young players. And then Sam was like, well, why can't Coach Bud do that? And that was a question a lot of other people posed. Why wasn't the coach that we had able to do this? And I think it comes down to the fact that GM wants to bring in his own guy. He knew him from Golden State, so on and so forth. But the rope that coaches are given, we started off talking about Dwayne Casey. He was in Toronto for 7 years and had lots of success, but he couldn't get past LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
I used this analogy yesterday, and you coming from Michigan should understand this. This is one of the reasons why coaches get thrown out of their job at certain universities, and we'll use the one that you hate, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
You go into Michigan when you get the job, and Rich Rodriguez was the example I use. When you stand there at the podium in your initial press conference and you say, we're going to try and win every game, and every game is important, no game is more important than the other one, than the others, no, you can't say that in Ann Arbor.
Right, because Ohio State.
You better say and make a point of saying that we don't care if we don't win no games, we're going to beat Ohio State.
That's
he
right.
never wrapped his arms around that.
Mm-hmm.
And when he didn't do it after a few years, you know, he's out in the warm weather in Arizona.
I think sometimes
he's gone.
I think sometimes you have to be able to relate to the Michigan fan base and not necessarily have to be from there, but you have to have some pretty strong ties in order to completely grasp all of that, in my personal opinion, and be very familiar with the rivalry and have some kind of background and all of that. Now, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to say, so my point is that's the closest analogy I could come up with as to why Dwayne Casey left. Now, by extension, we could talk about that argument that happened this past week with Barkley and Shaq, where Barkley was saying, now, this is before he was fired, of course, but Dwayne Casey, or any coach
sure.
who has to bench, well, you know what? Let me take a step back here. DeShone Tate joining Greg here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. How did you feel about Dwayne Casey benching his superstar in the fourth quarter of that last game with Cleveland? And that was a conversation, not the last game, but you know, toward the end of that playoff run,
mm-hmm.
putting DeRozan down. And then you have to think about, does a coach need to go and repair that relationship? Barkley says yes. Shaq says no. You sit him down. If he ain't playing well, you sit him down, superstar or not. These guys get babied too much. And they went back and forth like this, and you want to talk about an MMA match. It got real close to that. At least that's the way it came off on TV. How do you feel, you personally, about when you get to that time, you have done everything you think you possibly can do, and nothing's working. But maybe one of the things that happens is maybe if you sit one of your stars down, are you a proponent of that?
Well, first of all, besides the fact that Dwayne Casey did not leave, I think that he may, you know, you get paid lots of money to make these decisions to sit a player, play a player, sub a player, all these things. And so if he felt like that was what will get the best out of his guy, DeMar DeRozan, or if it was Kyle Lowry, anybody,
yeah.
Then I think that, you know, he went with his gut and he didn't get to, you know, number one seed in the East for no reason. He didn't get 259 wins, most of franchise history, for no reason. All of that being said, I really think that it was justifiable. I mean, that's not the reason they lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Right.
I don't want to make any sort of mistake about that. You know, LeBron James is the reason that he lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Listen, all right. Well, then having said that, you agree like a lot of people. He went out like Sinatra. He did it his way, right?
Yeah.
So if you're going to get fired, you're going to go out playing it your way. What about the 76ers? Now, them going through what they went through this year,
mm-hmm.
we tend to agree that's a good thing. You got to have your growing pains.
Sure.
And what will happen next? What do you see happening in the future for this team?
I think that the future is bright, honestly. I mean, they get a chance now to go back to the drawing board, and as crazy as this is to believe, which I didn't necessarily see it, Joe Embiid's going to get better. We had an actual opportunity to see for a long period of time to see that what he can do in more than just a quarter of a season or a third of a season. They can work on Markelle Fultz and his jump shot and some of the issues that they're having with that. And he's not the only person that needs improvement on his jump shot, because Ben Simmons is another guy. And so, you know, they've got a really good piece in TJ McConnell as well. So, you know, it's now looking forward to the draft. And, I mean, for Philadelphia 76ers to been as bad as they have been in the past, in recent history – for them to come out and get what I think a number three seed at this point in the Eastern Conference, I think that speaks volumes, to be honest with you. And I mean, this probably could have been a little bit worse had Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward been playing.
Well, that's the thing that makes what Boston did even more amazing. Before we shut down this basketball talk here, where does Coach Bud land in your mind of the open opportunities that are there now, or does he sit maybe for a season? And wait for another opportunity? Because I'm not going to get into my diatribe of why I think he's going back to San Antonio, but your thoughts on where you think he might end up or where you'd like to see him.
I think that Milwaukee is probably an ideal spot. Between Milwaukee and Toronto, I think that those are pretty ideal spots, just depending on if he still wants to take the system from the Spurs that he brought here and bring it to the next team that he did here. But, you know, if he sits for a season, that might not be a bad thing. I mean, there's a lot of openings that likely could be coming around in the future, that being, you know, the Lakers possibly, in which I'm not saying he would get that job. Yeah, but when you're just looking at the future of some openings that will be available, Washington potentially. I know everybody loves Popovich, but at some point
that's my whole thing.
That's gonna play itself out, you know, and he's a San Antonio guy. I don't think Billy Donovan's gonna be around much longer. Clippers still right there. And who knows if LeBron James is gonna end up with a whole nother coach all over again. Yeah. So there's options in the future if he decides to sit.
You got a couple things. Don't tell me now. You got a couple things you're grateful for that you have in your life in 2018?
Mama.
Okay, I wanted you to save it though. Now you just gave it out.
Well, no, I have plenty more.
Okay. All right. Well, you're only going to give one here in a second.
Okay.
All right. This is what we do. Going to let you know what we are most grateful for and get back to maybe a little bit more NBA talk. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we're going to talk about those baby Braves. It's Deshaun Tate. It's Greg Clarkson. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
I wasn't ready for my singing.
Radio 92.9 The Game, BB and Bobby. Joined this morning by Mr. Deshaun Tate. Last time I heard some good blues was actually in Detroit last September.
That doesn't surprise
me. I went up there to your neck of the woods, even though you're more East Lansing, but still. Mr. Crenshaw, unfortunately, is out this morning. So in honor of that, we're going to hold back on the James Brown because that's his music, and he loves some BB King. I was going to ask you a question, it just slipped my mind, so I tell you what.
I tend to have that effect.
I know. Well, no, it's just old-timers with me. That's all that really is. As we move forward here, I asked you a minute ago, so have it ready, all right, because this is what we do. It is time to let the audience know what we are most grateful for.
The guys are pretty grateful. Yeah, grateful to be employed.
You guys are like my peeps. You're my dogs.
Now, let's find out what other things they're grateful for on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Deshaun, I had something happen this past week that I'd never have happened before.
Okay.
As I continue to dip my toe into this acting stuff and get booked on these productions. So I was booked on the new Taraji P. Henson movie.
Okay.
She's in the remake of the Mel Gibson What Women Want. They're making a movie called What Men Want. Oh, Taraji's the star of it. And I was booked on it. And I was supposed to shoot a scene this past week. And for any number of reasons, I got bumped. I got released. Got a call from the second AD, and he says, listen, you and he named off a couple other people, and we were all bumped. The reason I tell you that story is because I am most grateful for SAG.
Okay.
Screen Actors Guild. The previous strikes that they have had have allowed me to, because I got bumped, I still got paid.
Look at you.
So, and the other people got paid too. So their efforts, their struggles in the past,
sure,
is, you know, we, the Atlanta actors and the people that are now here in this town,
absolutely,
acting, are beneficiaries of that. So
look at that.
For this hour, I'm going to say I am most grateful to have SAG in my life, Screen Actors Guild. So there you go.
Nothing says go. Go sell tickets like a movie with the title of What Men Want.
Well, especially with women, there's a ton of great actors in this thing too.
Oh, so. Well, that too, of course. Yes.
What are you
most
grateful for?
Very simple. Each and every single person that got up at 6 o'clock this morning to make sure that they were listening to Greg Clarkson, Bo Johnson, and DeSean Tate. And especially at the 640 segment, man, where we have, what are you grateful for? You know, every person riding in your car, whether you're at home or just woke up out of the bed, make sure you're listening. Every single person listening to 929 on a regular basis, and especially this show and this segment.
I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm just trying to help you out here.
Okay.
Now, I don't know one way or the other. My mother has left me in 2008.
I'm sorry.
Is your mother
hear.
Still with us? No, it's all good. You know, I talk positively now.
Sure.
Is your mother still with us?
Mama's still here.
Is she in town, or is she up in Michigan?
Michigan.
Okay, so that's good for you. She's not listening. Heard you say that. What about your lady? My point is, you skipped over the two people you're supposed to put first, so
well,
it's a good thing they're in a different time zone.
Hold on. Well, first of all, when we were in the last segment and we teased this segment coming up.
I said it first.
I did say, Mama, and you said, well, you said it already.
All right. Okay.
We're gonna stay right here with the listener.
You going to accept that, Bo?
Oh, he can be grateful for whatever he wants to.
Bo knows I'm thankful for him. Man.
And your lady, is she in town or out of town?
Out of town.
Oh, see, you're good to go either way. You're not gonna walk. You're not gonna walk into the door like, how come you didn't say me first?
No, I'd still be good to go. I'll be all right. I can hold my own. It's okay.
Bo, your turn, man.
So last week was my mom's birthday, and I actually did say that I was grateful for my mom last week. So I won't use that one again. Now that it's Mother's Day, but I will say that I am grateful for parental support.
Parental support. You should mind me.
So, like I was telling you yesterday in the bullpen, you know, my mom, whenever it came to sports, for one, would support me at every sport that I played, and I played like five or six of them. Stuck with baseball my entire life, but I played football, basketball, soccer, taekwondo. Mom's always the one that showed up to every meet, every game, every practice, and she'd always be the one in the seats. I could hear her from center field yelling the loudest out of everybody, and it was embarrassing sometimes,
right.
You know. But it was still cool, and I have kids now, and they play several different sports, and they go from sport to sport to sport until they find what they want to do, and, you know, support your kids, man, and what they want to do, especially if it includes getting outside and off the electronics. And I'm a supporter of electronics also. But
I was just going to say, I felt that way until we started having esports segments and found out how much these dudes make.
I know.
Well, and, you know, there can be balance. They still got to get outside a little bit, you know. Encourage them to get out and play soccer 1 or 2 hours a week. That's all it really takes.
Or go swimming.
Basketball, swimming. Yes.
Swimming.
There you go. Hey, listen, two things. And one, you reminded me, which we're going to get to, because I brought this up yesterday on this Mother's Day. We're going to open up the lines to everybody, 404-741-0929. But I have to say, I met your daughter, Bo, this past week. Listen.
Beautiful little girl.
I'm going to tell you what. Get a dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go to the word cute, and do not be surprised if you see her picture.
Well, I thought I would have.
No, it ain't you, man. Oh. It's a little girl. Come on now.
Oh, okay. back to Bo's daughter.
She couldn't have been cuter, more well behaved. Mm. But she, when I got, and usually kids and me, we kind of bond because they're my emotional equal.
Sure.
But she looked at me like I owed her money. She was kind of shy, but then she kind of relaxed, and it was all good. But you have a beautiful daughter, man.
I appreciate that, man.
Yeah.
It's like, Uncle Greg, how many birthdays you missed out on.
That may happen. Stop, man. That may happen the next visit or whatever, but for the first one, a little apprehensive.
Yeah, and to that point, she's like that with everybody. Until,
oh, really?
You know, until she spends a little bit of time with you. She never really has run up to too many strangers and been like, hey, how's it going? I'm Olivia.
Not ones that bigger. Buy her big old chocolate milk drinks.
That helped.
Yeah, not much, though.
Well, I'm going to get a chance to see her sometime soon because I'm going to go hang out over at Bo's house. He's got a birthday coming up. So I'm going to go over there and hang out with him for a little bit. We're going to do the swimming thing like we did last year. We had a blast, man. It was a really awesome time.
Yesterday we put this out for, because this is Mother's Day weekend. Mm-hmm. So today we really want to hear from you guys again. 404-741-0929. If there's anything you would like to say about your mother, things that she did for you growing up, and since this is a sports show, sports related, like Bo said, was she the mother who took you and your friends out to the game, picked you up afterwards, took you out for something to drink? Was she the one in the stands yelling? Was she the one that played basketball with you in the driveway when you didn't, you know, it was just you and mom?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of single parents out there are kids brought up by single parents, and they have very fond and deep memories of their connection with their mother.
That's right.
So we would like to hear from you. If you'd like to take a second before you get to church and wherever you're going this morning, and give mom a little airtime and tell us a story about something that she did for you. My mother was always dancing in the backyard, man.
Was she?
Well, when we would have, like, get-togethers, as you said, family come over and there'd be some music going, and she was always the first one. So, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.